Back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being until we ask for your calls, because we have with us on the line from Maryland, Joan Vianna. But Joan's just back from the G8 meeting over there where they had Bono and all these rock stars. What's that have to do with the G8? Well, I think they want to keep us so intent upon watching the rock music and frying our brains with the loud sounds, we won't understand how we're being betrayed by our leaders, by Tony Blair and by George Bush, and by the leaders of the G8, who really have a different agenda. Their loyalty is not to their respective countries, but to this idea of a new world order and a new world religion and a new world financial system. And so with that as a background, Joan Vianna, thanks so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's my joy to be on your show. I'm just so grateful for all the things you've done that really inspire and help people like me and many, many others to do the things that need to be done in a world in which reality appears to be an illusion.
Well, I think I think God has given us each an assignment, and he's given you an assignment to go to all of these meetings, and I'd much rather just sit here and do talk radio than have to travel all over the world and live out of a suitcase. Tell us what happened at the G8 meeting, and tell us about your questions for Prime Minister Chirac of France and for Tony Blair of England, and what's really going on over there, besides, of course, the great rock music.
Yeah, right, the great rock music. this was my, I think, my eighth Group of Eight meeting. And this, I have to say, was a G8 meeting like no other. And it's true. Beginning with the Genoa Group of Eight in 2002, there we saw and we had severe protesters. As a result of the protesters, and we must all remember that one poor Italian soldier shot and killed one of the protesters in self-defense, but, you know, who knows what happened to him. He's probably doing time in prison. As a result of Genoa, they allowed, the Group of Eight, allowed the non-governmental organizations to come into the G8 reporting center just as if they were press. And at this meeting, not only did we have the rock stars lobbying in special one-on-one meetings all of the world leaders, not only the G8, but there were 17 other additional leaders that came, like from Brazil and India and China, as well as not only some of the third world countries, Algeria, but it also included Kofi Annan and the IMF, the World Bank, the WTO, the IEA, and a number of other international organizations. And so they were allowed one-on-one meetings as if they were world leaders meeting with another world leader, which they call bilateral talks. They were allowed in there as if they were, you know, as if they were governmental instead of non-governmental.
Well, maybe they do represent sort of an invisible government, but go ahead. And I'm thinking from a spiritual point of view, because I think many of these rock stars really are energized by the dark side.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And Bono has, I've been at the World Economic Forum. Bono has done press briefings there. I've been not only the G8, but, you know, he's been making the rounds all over the place.
Hold that thought right there. We're going to be back in just a moment as we bring our other stations right on board here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Joan Fionn, who's just back from the G8 meeting. And she was talking about how this meeting was unlike any other meeting she's been to before. Of course, we have that great international diplomat. I think his name is Bono. He's one of the rock stars, and he is advising the leaders of the world about how we should reconstitute the economic system and what needs to be done. So you pick up the story there. Joan was saying that the non-governmental agencies, appointed by nobody, they represent, of course, the people who pay for them, and they usually, of course, represent the great corporations that put up the money for them, the great foundations that put up the money for them, the government agencies that put up the money for them, and they were there consulting with world leaders as well. But go ahead, Joan, tell us a little bit more about the G8 meeting.
So along with Bono and Sir Bob Geldorf, of course, knighted by the Queen, meeting with all these world leaders at Glen Eagles, I was at Glen Eagles, I just wasn't at the hotel. I was at the press center, which was the equestrian center. That was real interesting. It was a real interesting thing. We were in the equestrian center, you know. So you put something over, you know, where the horses tread, and then you get the press center. And so what we had there was there were about six or eight tables full of non-governmental organizations, again, licensed, just a credential, just like the press, and they were giving out press releases to all the reporters throughout the whole conference, as well as holding press briefings. They held more press briefings than world leaders did. And at one point I said, wait a minute, why am I accepting these things? And I kept telling them, no thank you, no, no thank you. And they were incensed that I didn't want their press information.
These are the non-governmental organizations that represent simply special interests and you know, corporate financial foundation interests. Where do they get off putting out press releases on the G8 conference, or maybe nothing as it appears to be?
Well, you know, that's a good point. And so when you ask what was different, what made this G8 meeting stand out, yes, it was the lobbying by Bono and Sir Bob Geldorf. It was also what the NGOs were doing inside. I went to a press briefing by World Wildlife Federation and IUCN and a couple other groups, I don't remember which, and they were just crucifying George Bush. Now, I don't like
that. Hold that thought for just a minute as our stations join us right here at Radio Liberty. Okay, well, Joan is saying that she goes to these press conferences. One of them is put on by the World Wildlife Association of all people, and they're holding a press briefing at the G8 meeting, and they're crucifying George Bush. And, of course, Joan was qualifying. She's not necessarily a great fan of George Bush's, but where does the World Wildlife Corporation, which is being funded, they get some of their funds from our own government, crucifying the American president, and of course they're funded by so many of the great corporate interests. So why are they attacking the American president? So pick up the story there.
They were very upset that George Bush did not go along with the other G8 leaders with a full pro-climate warming agenda.
The reason he doesn't go along with it, because he knows it would destroy the economy of the United States and impoverish our people, and that's one of the few good things he has done.
That's exactly right. One of the very few good things he has done, for which we are very grateful. And so they were busy. So I finally raised my hand and I said, I'm Joan Fionn with USA Radio. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that I'm with the U.S., but I am. And they all laughed. And I said, wasn't there a great Chinese general who said sometimes you take two steps backward to take one step forward? And they all smiled. I changed the complete tone. And then they started singing the praises of the mayors who are behind, 140 or 150 mayors behind climate warming? And, of course, your wonderful governor, Schwarzenegger, and John McCain and a number of other bipartisan efforts in the Senate to enhance and pass climate warming.
Now you're talking about the Kyoto Protocol, of course.
That's right.
And that, of course, is a direct attack on the United States. That was what it's designed for, because if we have to cut back massively on our consumption of energy, and this is what it means, you got to shut down the electric generating plants, because, of course, we can't have nuclear energy. So where are we going to get our energy from? Well, we've got to do it from burning coal and from burning oil and natural gas, and this pollutes the atmosphere. So we're going to have to do away with energy. We're going to have to shut down our factories, and then we can be as impoverished as the rest of the world. The only trouble is the rest of the world doesn't have to shut down their plants, and there's nothing here that to restrict the greatest polluters in the world, which are today India and, of course, China. It is an attack on America, and we are being attacked from within by so many of the environmental groups that know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know.
Oh, absolutely. So that was the NGOs. That was number one. That was different. Number two, the Queen was in Glen Eagles and hosted a dinner for the G8 leaders. Now, the last time, the time before this, that the G8 was in England, it was in Birmingham, and much closer to Windsor Castle and or Buckingham Palace, and the Queen did not host the dinner then. In 1991, the time before that, she did host a reception at Buckingham Palace for the press. But this is very historic. On Wednesday evening, the Queen hosted dinner for the G8 leaders. And, you know, because I wrote my book, Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince, I have a completely different opinion of the Queen and the royal family. They are not just figureheads. They are not just wealthy people with nothing to do. They literally, in my opinion, run the world, and I can prove it. So, anyway, we have the Queen sitting down with the heads of state of supposedly the most powerful countries in the world. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? The following morning, we had the bombings in London, and needless to say, all the press that was at Glen Eagles of the press that was at Glen Eagles, a great majority of people left to go cover the London bombing. And thus, there was pretty much a blackout on everything that happened at the G8, which is just too bad. In America, most people do not know that the G8 leaders had dinner with the Queen. And I find it absolutely interesting because if you take a look at the Queen of England being just a figurehead, which she is not, having dinner or hosting dinner for the most powerful leaders in the world, and she's the only woman there, you just wonder exactly what the dynamics are. It was interesting, there was a picture, the official picture, it was on the G8 website, it's been taken down now, of the boys in their tuxedos, along with Prince Philip and his, of course, and then the Queen, interestingly enough, in a white gown with some orangish red flowers of some kind.
No, they were all dressed in black, and of course she was there in a white dress.
That's right. Yeah, if you get my drift. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? At the final press briefing, or the only press briefing that Tony Blair held, I asked him, what did the Queen tell the G8 leaders? What kind of admonishments did she give you? And I did not catch this, but it was replayed on C-SPAN or CNN, one of the two. It was replayed Friday evening, and my sister was flipping channels here in the States and happened to see my face and flip back. And she said that when I asked Tony Blair that question, that he was visibly taken back.
And the question was, what did you discuss with the Queen?
That's right. And his reply was, we can't tell you what we discussed. And I thought, you know, that's real interesting, because that tells me more than if he said, well, the Queen is very concerned about Africa. She has a number of countries that are part of the Commonwealth. You know, that would have been a more, let's say, civil or an answer that would deflect something very secretive.
And what you're suggesting is there are a lot of secret conferences there that they can't let the common folks know about.
That's right. That's right. And this was one of them. So, not to be deterred, the Chirac press briefing was immediately after Tony Blair's press briefing. So I went into the Chirac press briefing and asked the same question.
Now, this was Jacques Chirac,
president of France.
Right.
And what I should have said, Dr. Stan, is, Mr. President, I don't really care what you ate, but could you tell me what you said, what the Queen said to you? Instead, I asked him about the global tax, which we'll talk about next, and what did the Queen tell you? And he went on to explain how wonderful the dinner was, how impeccable, what great taste, et cetera, and, but he couldn't tell me what she said.
In other words, he could not tell you what was discussed at the meeting because it was secret. So I thought everything was open and above board, and we were living in democratic or representative countries where our government represented us rather than perhaps the interests of some secret cabals.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Absolutely. The third thing that was very interesting about the G8 meeting is global taxation. Now, I started covering global meetings in 1995 as a result of finding, amongst all the different papers that I collected at the Cairo conference in 1994, one particular document that basically said that the UN was looking to put forth the idea of global taxation at the Social Summit, which was held in March of 1995, 6 months after Cairo. And that is what started me on the road to covering global meetings. I mean, you don't have global taxation unless you are talking global government. I mean, they go hand in hand. That's the, unfortunately, the purpose of tax is to support government.
Right.
And so I started covering global meetings then. And I have watched, and I have written, and I have made a chronology of all the different steps that they have taken. In 2000, the princes and the presidents and the kings and the prime ministers of this world met at the United Nations for the United Nations Millennium Summit. There, they came up with the Millennium Development Goals, called MDGs. And these goals include incredible feats that they think they will accomplish, but they know they never will, including reducing HIV/AIDS by 50% by 2015, reducing poverty, reducing hunger, reducing or giving every child a basic education, improving the lives of slum dwellers, giving people clean drinking water around the world. And the cost for these few things is estimated at $50 billion a year up until 2006, when due to inflation it will go to $66 billion. And then by 2015 it will be $126 billion per year.
Boy, they must be planning a lot of inflation. Maybe they know something we don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And so because of that, I remember in the Millennium document, there was only one sentence talking about the United Nations having the right to its own financing. And 2 years later, and of course Joan Peros and I were both at the Millennium Summit in 2000 and the Financing for Development meeting in 2002. And that was held in Monterrey, Mexico. There, they basically came up with a number of things. You know, they opened the door to the fact that it would be okay. There was one workshop on global taxation, and there were some groups, of course, domiciled in England that were working on it. And so there wasn't a whole lot on global taxation until 2004. And in 2004, there were two meetings at which global taxation got on the table, and it started where we are today.
All right. And so these people, of course, have long-range plans. And I think that people in the listening audience must understand that everything is decided behind the scenes. And, of course, they need the money to establish their global government. And, of course, it's getting very close to the time when that government is coming. So that's why they're trying to raise the funds. Do you think that would be a fair statement?
Yes.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Joan Vian as we're going to begin exploring more of this move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and, of course, the New World Monetary System. And they're going to destroy everything before that comes about.
A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free.
1-800-685-4042. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joan Vian, just back from the G8 meeting, and she's talking about the things that are going on over there. And so much of this is secret because, of course, the common folks really can't understand that the leaders of the world have an agenda. And that is, of course, they want a world government, which, of course, will end national sovereignty as we know it. So pick up the story there, Joan.
So in any event, I was talking about the international tax. In 2004, it made it on the table at the IMF World Bank meeting, which was followed up by the G8 summit headed by George Bush. In other words, America was the president last year, and so we basically headed up everything that was going to be done with regard to agenda. And in that regard, President Chirac did put, it was unofficial, it wasn't on the agenda, but President Jacques Chirac did put some kind of global tax for the poor on the agenda. He said that he would be working on a number of different ways that they would be looking to make global taxation more equitable for all the countries of the world versus, for example, the Tobin tax and some of the other things we've talked about in the past. He was at the World Economic, well, he wasn't at the World Economic Forum, but he did a teleconferencing speech in which he talked specifically in January about a tax on airline tickets. And then at this meeting, he introduced what he calls, oh, you'll love this phraseology, a international solidarity levy. Is that good communist comrade type socialist terms there?
Well, of course, they use terms really to confuse people and to conceal what they're really up to. So what is he talking about?
He's talking about a tax of anywhere from $1 to $10 on airline tickets. There are 3 billion airline tickets sold per year. And a number of countries, such as Brazil and, of course, England, and a couple others have already agreed, Brazil, China, and Germany, have already agreed that they're in favor of a global tax. So the bottom line is it's basically now ready to go to the United Nations in the fall for their five-year follow-up to the Millennium Summit in 2000.
I think what's so interesting, Joan, is that the people don't want this. It is simply these unelected leaders, these
That's people, right.
That, sort of, they really know what's best for us. Their loyalty is not to their constituents, not to their own countries. Their loyalty is, of course, to this internationalist dream, and they've got to have money to be able to impose their tyranny on the world.
That's right. That's right, and that's exactly what is happening here. So at this meeting, there was a global tax, which is really very historic. This should be making world headlines, but they have chosen a different way to make world headlines that fits into their other agenda, and of course the agenda here at home to get Patriot 2 permanent. So, it did a lot of things. You know, the timing of the bombing was just, as wonderful as 9/11.
And I think it's so interesting that just before, we have a 9/11 and then they get Patriot 1 through. And then, of course, they have the 7/7 bombing, the bombing in London, just when the Patriot Act is being reconsidered by the Senate. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? It's almost as if Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda are doing everything they can to get their Patriot Bill reenacted exactly as it was, doing away with so many of the rights that we have under our Constitution. Osama bin Laden, I wonder if he's trying to help George Bush get that through.
Well, it's very interesting, Dr. Stan. In a world in which the United States has 13 intelligence agencies, we have many spy satellites in space, we are now working, and as a result of 9/11, we have integrated the intelligence and the military between all the other countries of the world, that they still have not found Osama bin Laden.
I think they know. Well, the head of the CIA said he knew exactly where it was. He was asked that at a recent conference, and Goss said, "I know exactly where it is. Next question." And they said, "Well, no, but where is he?" Well, next question. We'll go on to another question. We can't go after him. It could cause all sorts of problems, and Ladies and gentlemen, they have no intention of getting Osama bin Laden. They've never tried to get Osama bin Laden. We didn't try to get him in Afghanistan. We didn't try to get him before Afghanistan when we knew he was responsible for the first World Trade Center bombing and for the Black Hawk Down incident and for the murders that have been carried out in Saudi Arabia. They've known where he's been all the time, and the question is, why are we trying to get Osama bin Laden? We'll be right back with Joan.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joan Vian. She's describing what's going on over there at the G8 meeting where they're making decisions that will have an influence on everybody in the listening audience. When the leaders of the world get together to plan their move towards the destruction of the sovereignty of the nations of the world. So pick up the story there, Joan.
The other thing that they did in Gleneagles is very interesting. When I was thinking about asking Tony Blair about what did the Queen say to you, I didn't want him to slough me off and then I lose an opportunity for, you know, a response. So I asked him about peacekeeping troops to Africa. Last year at Sea Island, a U.S. Official announced that they were going to put together... I thought it was 75,000 troops. I have to go back and look at my figures. 75,000 troops to keep peace in Africa. So I raised my hand and I said, excuse me, I would like to know, given the United Nations Millennium Summit that would allow the UN to have its own army for the first time, a rapid deployment force, if these troops, if this is part of that. And he said, well, yes, it is. These troops can be sent anywhere in the world. And Tony Blair did announce that they were increasing the number of troops by 20,000 to 85,000. Now, I'm pretty sure last year that it was 75,000, but, you know, I'll check my figures. He knows more than I do. The bottom line is we're starting to see an increase in, you know, of course, the expansion of this global army.
All right, so then we see this ever-increasing centralization of power with the United Nations, the idea of the International Court, the International Criminal Court, the international bureaucracy, the international police force. You know, we really look at the London bombing. The timing of this was just perfect. And really what is so amazing about this whole story, and I don't think anybody's commented on it, is that we're told that the Scotland Yard began to suspect that this was really an Islamic terrorist bombing when the family of one of these young men called the Scotland Yard, or called the police, were wondering where their son might be. And then immediately they started looking at the pictures of the videos that were taken in the train station, and lo and behold, they saw this young man. Now, nobody's ever asked, how did they know what this young man looked like? And then they saw him with three other suspects. So how did they know who those suspects were? Unless, of course, they have pictures in their computers of all of the people over there, and everybody in the Muslim community, and maybe really everybody within the English community. They're collecting, and they have been collecting, pictures of people, and they have files on literally everybody in England, and they have files on literally everybody in the United States. And you watch these programs on television, and you know, maybe it's a police or investigation. And what do? They go to the computer, and they type in somebody's name, and lo and behold, there comes out their picture. And nobody's ever asked how it was that Scotland Yard was so smart that they knew how this young man looked, and then they knew who all the people there were with him on those pictures. And I would like to suggest we've got the smartest intelligence agencies in the world. They can read a newspaper from outer space, but oh shucks, they just had no idea what was going on in America before 9-1-1. But immediately the day after that, they knew who all those people were. Isn't that amazing that they could suddenly become so efficient so quickly?
Yes, and let me just say with regard to that, I'm so glad you brought it up. When I went to my first global meeting, Evian, France in 1996, I mean my first G8 meeting, they submitted a document called the P8 for the political 8, which included Russia way back then, and 40 points to counteract terrorism. And one of the ideas then was to set up a centralized intelligence agency that would be able to handle all kinds of information and intelligence from all over the world, and that it would be able to help with regard to tracking criminals, et cetera, or terrorists, et cetera. The bottom line is I didn't hear anything about it, and I happened to be flipping through the most current Newsweek a couple days ago, and I just happened to see the right phraseology that made me go back to the article. And the bottom line is they have set in place, they call it a supra-secret intelligence agency, and it's in France, and indeed they have set this up. So again, I go back to what was 9/11. 9/11 was the excuse to integrate the military and the intelligence. And, of course, it was all planned years in advance. And now this particular agency is, you know, one of the heroes in the information that's coming out now.
So I suspect that we may never know what really happened on 7/7. But, of course, we can know exactly what happened on 9/11 because we know that they had advanced knowledge of it. How do we know? Because I talked to Willie Brown's press secretary, and he told me Willie Brown was notified the night before the September 11th bombing. He should be very cautious, actually flying the next day, and then After that article appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle, somebody got to the Chronicle and got them to pull it out of all the other editions for that day and got the article down off the internet. Who would have the power to do that? And if they're not covering up something, why would they cover it up? So there's so many things that we're not getting the truth about, and we may never know what really happened on 7/7. Well, anyway, of course, what was the response when you were over in London? Were people sort of taken aback at this tragic bombing and the loss of life?
Absolutely. They were really, it was quite dramatic and traumatic. And speaking about the trauma, did you know that Mayor Giuliani, former New York Mayor Giuliani, just happened to be in London, not that far away from where one of the bombs went off?
I'm sure it was just a coincidence.
Yeah, I thought so too. Hey, I'm glad you confirmed that for me.
But, of course, I think the most interesting thing is that recent polls show that the majority of the British people would be glad to give up their freedom just to be protected from the wicked terrorists so it doesn't happen again. But I think it will only happen, if it is allowed to happen. Every one of the Muslims, in Europe is being tracked at the present time. You can do that with the computers. You can do, several billion things or, actions every second with these computers. They simply are tracking everybody. And until people understand that and begin thinking and wondering, gee, how was it that they were so smart they could pick those people's picture, out of the videos there at the train station, and not only knew who the one fellow was, they knew all those people with him. Why didn't anybody ask those questions?
Oh, isn't it amazing? It is absolutely amazing. I mean, and you're right, Dr. Stan. I am just so amazed where all the cameras are when I go anywhere. It's just. I mean, there is. What we used to have is no longer.
Big Brother is watching everything, and it's just exactly as it was planned that way. And we're using, of course, the threat of terrorism to continue that. But who is financing the insurgents in Iraq? Why, the money's coming from Syria, but Syria's been working with our CIA. If you doubt that, we have articles on it. Of course, the money's coming from Saudi Arabia, but they're supposedly our friends. The money's coming from Iran, but that's where Osama bin Laden is. And who is it who brought the Ayatollahs to power back in 1979? Why, the American government toppled the Shah of Iran and brought the Ayatollahs to power. Back then, it didn't make any sense. Today, it makes lots of sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so what we have most interesting when we take a look at all these things that are happening, and I want to back up just 1 week before the G8 because I was in... I was at the 75th anniversary of the Bank for International Settlements. And there, it was most interesting, 2 years ago, about this time, it was July 1st, a number of eminent economists, which included Robert Mundell, Nobel Economic Prize winner, Joseph Frankel, or Jacob Frankel, and Paul Volcker, among others, were meeting in Italy to discuss the idea of a global currency. And I was doing an interview. I had been asked to do an exclusive interview with the managing director of the bank, Malcolm Knight.
Now, this was, what, about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
2 years. This was 2 years ago.
All right, fine.
And I asked him about a global currency, and he just sort of deferred the whole idea of a global currency. Oh, my, Then, after that meeting, about 9 months later, I actually saw Paul Volcker, and I asked him, given what you set up in 1973 when the world had two currency crises, what do you see for the world in the future? And he told me that they didn't do a very good job in setting up the global system in 1973, and that what a globalized world needed was an international currency. When I tried to ask him if it was a special drawing right, he said to me, oh, no, it'll be more than that. Well, then when I said, like what, he turned his back on me, and since he's close to 7 foot tall, that's it.
And Joan's about 5 feet tall, in her high heels.
End of interview. So then, a year ago, in August, I did an interview with the leading economist at the Bank for International Settlements. And the bank has just changed from the Swiss gold coin to the special drawing rights.
How do you mean the which bank now has
the Bank for International Settlements?
And no longer using the Swiss.
They're no longer using gold as of a year ago.
Okay.
Which I thought was fascinating, that they were getting off of the gold standard, 2004 minus 1973, 31 years after whatever it is. So they were getting off the gold standard, and I was told that, it's no big deal. It's just, a better bookkeeping entry.
Well, I tell you what, they better tell that to the Arabs, because the Arabs are getting onto a gold standard.
Absolutely. So then in their annual report this year, they cited all kinds of major imbalances, economic imbalances in the world, and in the Bank for International Settlements suggestions as to how they could get rid of these imbalances, you won't believe it. They cited that maybe even the ideas of some international economists for a global currency or a regional currency should be taken into consideration.
I think it's so important that you're bringing this out, Joan, because people have to understand, nothing going on today makes any sense. The people in the Federal Reserve Board are doing everything wrong. And they're very smart people. Alan Greenspan is brilliant, and the people behind him are brilliant. They are moving towards a financial catastrophe in America that is going to impoverish a large percentage of our people. The people who are depending on their pensions, other people who are depending on their annuities, on their bank accounts, on their bonds, on their stocks, people who are depending upon many of the people who are speculating in housing today, the people who are buying the new houses with nothing down, and negative interest rate payments where you don't pay even all the interest on it, nothing on the principal. These people are all going to be impoverished when this whole house of cards comes down, and the solution will be a new global currency or a cashless society. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
And when people are desperate, when of course they can't buy food, they've lost their home, they've lost their car, they lost their job, they'll look to government that created the problem to solve it for them. And I think they're already planning on that. Don't you?
Yes, I do. I just see Dr. Stan as I've spent only next to you 10 and a half years researching all of this, and I have to say that my faith has been strengthened. Our security, for the most part, should not be in government. It should not be in gold. It should not be in our job. It should not be in our position. It should not be in our bank account. All those things will fail us. Real security, real joy, real peace in the midst of storm is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, that's what it's all about. But because behind all of these things are these dark spiritual forces we keep talking about. And you recognize that, don't you, Joan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Over and over again, I see nothing but evil. It's just so amazing. No matter what I pick up to read, to understand, for example, that Bush won. I did not know this. He started USAID in the early 70s specifically to reduce the population of unwanted races. I mean, he is a major eugenist.
You're talking about George Herbert Walker.
Yeah, him. Bush won.
Right. And he is, in my estimation, a very intelligent, very capable, very evil man.
Oh, yes. And, the fact that, I found it interesting that when you looked at the G8 leaders picture having dinner with the Queen, that, to my knowledge, George Bush is the only, Bush 2, is the only one who is related to the Queen.
I think that's really very interesting. What's the relationship?
He is the 18th cousin removed to the Queen.
They all sort of stay together, don't they? They intermarry.
Yes.
But we're just about out of time. Let's get your website out. Let's get information on how people can reach you.
They can call 301-371-0541. 301-371-0541. We offer some wonderful materials, newsletters, economic research that will help you. Call for an information packet. We have books, videos, everything that will help you learn more about world government and how to protect yourself.
And, of course, Joan is a financial advisor. If you need financial advice, I know some people who've been with her and invested with her, and they've been very, very happy about the way she's handled their finances. So, you know, I think, again, with that telephone number, 301-371-0541. What about your website?
Womensgroup.org. W-O-M-E-N-S. G-R-O-U-P, womensgroup.org.
Okay, well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Joan Vian, and Joan goes to all these international meetings and, of course, keeps us abreast of what's going on in the world as she goes there, representing the USA News, and I think it's important that you keep abreast of what's going on because decisions are made that will influence you and generations yet unborn. God bless you, Joan. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless America.
Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WART.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have so many things going along with this move towards world government. We have the Millennium Syllabus. It was put together after the Millennium Conference in 2000, where Joan Paris and Joan Vian attended and brought us back a great deal of information. We have a four-tape set and a video on the Millennium Conference and this plan for world government and the New World Order. We have a four-tape set on sustainable development and going into the background of this move towards the New World Order, and of course we have our sustainable development syllabus, or our sustainable development of four-tape set that go along with that. The information is all there. You need to get it, and you need, of course, to understand what lies ahead. We do have an excellent DVD. It's a talk I gave about, 6 weeks ago, called The Coming Financial Crisis. And you can get, along with that, for $3.95, a pamphlet we put together. It's a booklet, probably 40 or 50 pages, that talks about the history of money. And you have to understand that behind the whole monetary system are these dark spiritual forces. There really are spiritual forces behind this. The plan has been laid out a long time ago on how to impoverish the American people and the people of the world and bring them to the point where they'll accept the New World Order, the New World Religion. So if you'd like to get the Coming Financial Crisis DVD, or the booklet that goes with it, or get them both together, call us at 1-800-544-8927, and the booklet is called A History of Money. And then, of course, we have my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which you need to get to understand the spiritual forces which are energizing everything that is going on today. And, of course, you can get the book, the video, or the audio tape, or get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And they're ordering these by the case, and certainly over in Great Britain, and putting them out, and you should be getting them out here. The more you can get out, the more people we can begin to educate about what's really going on in the world today. Again, it's the Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the video, or all of them together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You should get the book, Lucifer's Children. You should get the Lucifer's Lodge, which goes into the what's happening in the Catholic Church. You should get, of course, the material. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the video. And you can get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour video or DVD. Because it will give you an idea of the satanic nature of music and why it would be that some fellow named Bono, who is a rock singer, would be advising the leaders of the world about what's going on. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. If you'd like a copy of our latest newsletter, that's the Occult Hierarchy number 2. It's just going out today. It's our June newsletter. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a free copy, but of course you can go up on our internet site as well. That's radioliberty.com and pull down our newsletters and get that information and help us to do what's going on. My secretary just said the Lucifer's Lodge is not in print at the present time. So, of course, we can... But you can get Lucifer's Children still through Radio Liberty. So then, of course, we need, of course, to hope many of you will seriously consider helping us. We have the opportunity to add 18 stations to the evening network that we're on. And if you'd like to help us, why, we'd appreciate it. The one thing we can do is reach people with the truth. And hopefully when enough people know the truth, why, things will begin to change. Our job is to get the information out. It's God's job to get people to listen. So if you'd like to help us, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you can make a pledge to help us as we pick up 18 additional stations, we already have about 12 stations on that evening network, but imagine if we had 30 stations. Well, we have to take it step by step. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.